الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Islamic Faith and Focus class. I'm your host, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. This program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. And that is that. What I want you all to know, by the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those of you who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be about cheating or being a cheater. Basically, cheat means it is an act of this honesty or dishonestly or unfairly or acting dishonestly or fairly in order to gain an advantage, especially in a game or examination. And so I kind of clear that up for you now. Let's look, for example, at what is an example of cheating. Right, nowadays we have people, or you may hear this a lot, I'm doing scams. That's S-C-A-M, or being scammers. S-C-A-M-M-E-R. A scammer is a person who scams others. And basically what it means, one of the definitions, is that a confident trick is an attempt to defraud a person or group after first gaining their trust. Meaning confident tricks mean to exploit victims using a combination of the victim's naivete, their compassion, their vanity, their confidence, irresponsibility, and particularly the greed. That's how they take advantage, that's how they get you, and that's how the whole confident trick works, or the whole scamming works. And if one person is trying to defraud another person or trick another person or take their money or take their property, their ID, all kinds of ways that people use to try to trick other people and take advantage of other people. It might be an elderly, a person who is young, taking advantage of an elderly person, or just taking advantage of an elderly person, or a woman of a man of a woman. And people, you all know all the different ways that people scam people. Maybe some of you who are listeners are scammers. And so I'm talking to you. I'm talking about the one who scams people and also the one who is being scammed. An example from the Quran, and you all can open up your Quran to chapter 4, verse 2. That's chapter 4, verse 2. And it really talks about the orphans, the ones, the child. I talked about this before, the child who does not have a father, maybe no mother. You're taking their property, and Allah mentions throughout the Quran about taking care of the orphans and the widows. The widows are a person, a woman who her husband died on her, for example. And so it says in chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, and I read it in English, give orphans their wealth when they reach maturity. And do not exchange your worthless possessions for their valuables, nor cheat them by mixing their wealth with your own, for this would indeed be a great sin. And so a person is in charge of the wealth of an orphan, and they may mix their orphan's money with their money, or give the orphan less, or to even give the orphan something and to be something bad for their good. You're changing one good object, your bad object, for their good object, or taking money from them and say, here, take this instead of the money. It takes the place of the money, and it may be an inferior product, or it may be way less than what the money that you're taking from that individual. So you don't cheat the individual, don't cheat the orphans. They trust you. They rely on you that you're going to look after them, and we're not supposed to cheat them. So let me just go over some things regarding cheating from Islamic standpoint. And some of the companions would do this before a person would be allowed to sell their goods in the market, souk, in the marketplace. They had to go, make sure they had to go through sort of a training, or go through like a deen training, or learn about what Islam says, what you can do and what you cannot do. So this person would at least know that when they're selling products from a person, or to a person rather, that they're not going into the marketplace to cheat people. And a marketplace is a place where you should seek refuge in Allah from the evil that take place in the marketplace, supermarket, or just an open market, farmer's market, or whatever you go, and because that's a great opportunity for people to try to cheat people, and not just there, other places too. And I have to also say that you can find some places in the marketplace of people that are very honest people. I can't just say everyone that sells in the market are dishonest. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that for those who are in the marketplace and they cheat people, please be aware of this. And those who are going to a marketplace, it's only using market for an example, into a marketplace, shopping mall, wherever you go to buy, and that this is something also that you can say as a buyer. When you go, according to Islam, according to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that you can do or you can say when you go into a place or dealing with a person that may cheat you or take advantage of you. So let me move on. It was narrated by Abu Huraira. May Allah forgive him for any shortcomings. That the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, passed by a pile of food. Some say it was tamar, it was dates, and here it just talking about food, and some say grain. So I won't get into the detail of what type of food, but that is not as important as the rest I'm getting ready to say of this particular saying. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he puts his fingers in it, meaning in the food, in the pile, and felt wetness. He said, "O owner of the food, what is this?" He replied, meaning the owner, "It was rained upon, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "Why not," meaning the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, "Why not put it on top of the food so that people can see it?" Then he said, "Whoever cheats, he is not one of us." So be aware of that. Or when you're selling, for example, I know during my studies, when I studied in Islam about business transaction, and then it mentions that a person should, when I'm going to sell something to someone, for example, I'm using me, for example, I'm going to sell a person a car. And so I must make sure that the person understands what's going on with the car, And then they can have the choice. They can buy the car or not buy the car. So I know something that that some kind of leak, for example, coming from the car or the motorcycle, whatever I'm trying to sell this person. There's some kind of deficiency regarding the car or whatever I'm trying to sell. But the person I'm selling it to cannot see it. I know it's there, but I cannot see it. So I am to tell that person about the defects so the person can decide if they're going to buy it or not. If they know about the defect and they buy it, then of course they decided to buy it knowing that what was at fault or what was the problem with the vehicle or whatever I'm trying to sell to them. So they know that. And so I should reveal that to that individual, what's going on with that. I remember one time I had traded in, I'm going to get a little personal. I had traded in my motorcycle. I drive motorcycles. And so I traded in my motorcycle, and I noticed that the tire was a little bit worn on the inside where people can't see it. So when I traded, and I'm just telling you for an example. I'm not trying to praise myself or anything like that. So when I traded to the buyer, I mentioned to him that I'm make sure please that you go over the vehicle, and I believe I mentioned about the tire. That you go to vehicle and so he'll be aware of any of this particular defect. And I certainly didn't want anyone driving it and then the tire blows up on the person and they get in some kind of accident or hurt themselves or killed and that whole thing. And that shouldn't be cheating the person anyway. And so that's just an example of my own experience of that. I could have just did that and just walked away and got the money and walked away from the individual. But the person I was buying it, I was selling it to, was a dealer who told me that he would go over the vehicle, I guess to make sure there's no kind of default or no problem with the vehicle. And I was very comfortable with that it was going to inspect the vehicle to make sure that it was okay for selling to someone else. I hope that you understand what I'm talking about from that example that I gave. And maybe you experienced the same type of thing where you sold something to someone and you didn't let them know about some type of defect, but you sold it to them anyway. At least let them know. The Prophet Muhammad, in this particular example, he told a man, about the food. He said, why not put it on top of the food so people can see it, so people can know about it, and they could decide if they want that the wet dates or whatever it is or not. Don't like put them on the bottom, and then when you scoop and put the dates, for example, in the bag to the people, you're putting the dry one and also the wet ones into the bag, and then you give it to the people. I have mentioned to you all before. Is that when you a person may go into a marketplace, for example, I'm only using marketplace for an example, and not all cheating takes place in the marketplace. So I just want to let you all know that, and that how a person may have maybe in the bag, they have maybe six oranges in the bag, but and they give the person who's seller the bag of six oranges, and then the seller would switch out the six oranges for maybe five oranges, or maybe even four, but probably five won't be as noticeable as four, and then they sell it to the person for that same price of the six. Or they put their finger on the scale when they're weighing something, and put their finger on the scale, or have some button that they push, and that it will weigh more than what it actually is, whatever the person is buying, and then charge the person for the weight that they can see, although they tip the scale, they put their finger on the scale, or have some kind of machine or button that they push to put more weight on the scale, and the person, of course, will pay for whatever weight that shows up. It may be 3 pounds that they actually put on it, but they may get charged for 5 pounds, for example. So let me move on. You all pretty much know what I'm talking about. Also, it was mentioned by the same man, Abu Huraira, that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, he said, Allah, the Most High, said, I am the third partner of two partners, as long as one of them does not cheat the other, or his companion. Then, if he cheats his partner, I depart from them. So, you all know what I'm talking about there, is that I am you, I'm selling something to you, and then I cheat you. Or you're selling something to me, and you cheat me. Allah is no cheating going on. Allah is there. He is present while we are talking to each other, are buying and selling to each other. And Allah said that he is the third of two partners, as long as one of them does not cheat, meaning his companion. And so, but once the other one cheats the other, then Allah leaves that transaction. The transaction is good. If he sees blessings from Allah between the two people, but once one person cheats the other, then Allah has nothing to do with that. He walks away from the cheating going on between those two people. So we want the blessings of Allah to be in our transaction. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, it was narrated by Abdullah, the son of Umar. A man mentioned to the message to the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, that he had always been cheated in bargains. The Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, Whenever you do bargain, say no cheating or no trickery. So the man, he knew that this is what people did. He goes to the marketplace, to the store, whatever, that people cheat him. And so the Prophet Muhammad, he advised the man, whenever you do a bargain, say no cheating. So this is what you all can do when you go into a business, a transaction. You say no cheating, no trickery. Or you go into a marketplace and say no trickery or no cheating. So this is something that you can do to protect yourself and asking Allah to help you with the particular transaction that you're doing. And I'm not necessarily sure I'm doing it. I just wanted to advise you all is that we are not to cheat other people, nor have other people cheat us or steal from us or scam us. Like I said earlier, scamming is a big deal now in this society. Online, in person, whatever, people find ways of getting your confidence and then taking from you. Taking your money from you, taking your property from you, and it's not like they're holding a gun necessarily to you. That's stealing also. But they find some kind of way of tricking you out of your money and getting your confidence, and you start sending them money and thinking they're going to give you more or use that money for good. But that's not how it works. At all when people are trying to cheat other people. And so let me move on, because you all pretty much know what I'm talking about there. It was narrated by Ibn Umar, meaning the son of Umar, that here, a man told the Messenger of Allah that he was always being cheated. The Messenger of Allah said, when you make a deal, say there is no cheating or no intention of cheating. So whenever the man engaged in a deal, he says there is no intention of cheating. So that's for you all who are the sellers, is that you're saying that there is no intentions of cheating in this transaction. I have no intent of cheating. Or you say as a buyer that no cheating, no trickery. I'm being forthright. I'm going to pay you for what the worth of the product that I'm buying from you. Don't cheat me. And so I pray that this particular class, for those people who this is what you do on a daily basis, stop doing it. Because you're going to pay now or pay later. You think you're getting away with it now, but you're going to have to pay later and go before your Lord and answer for what you've done. You're not getting away with anything. Because a law can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So you can certainly see what you're doing. See, you're cheating a person, or you're being honest with the individual. You don't want to be cheated, so don't cheat others. And I'm not saying that's the deal. Okay, I don't want to be cheated, so I'm going to cheat others. Just don't do it. Just don't scam people. And that's a big thing right now for people. Just find all kind of ways of scamming people, which is, of course, is wrong. So please stop the scamming. Stop the cheating. Someone entrusts you, like I mentioned before about the orphans, entrusts you with something. Hold on to that thing until they want it back. Like the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, his life, his people were going to kill him. And he knew this. But before he left Mecca to go to Medina, he gave everyone who entrusted him with anything, or no matter what it was, the people found him al-Amin, or they found him trustworthy, they would give him things to hold. You know, can you hold this for me? Can you keep this for me? I got it. He's going to give him everything that you gave to me. I'm going to give it back to you. So before he left Mecca to go to Medina, but the Hijrah to go to Medina, he made sure, and his life was at jeopardy of being taken, that he made sure, and it didn't matter, he made sure everyone received what they gave to him. He did not cheat the people. It's a great example for us to do the same thing. Don't cheat the people. Don't hurt the people. Don't take from the people, or the people give you a certain amount, and you're going to charge them much more for what they gave, or what they gave to you. Or put your finger on the scale. Because on the day of judgment, you're going to have to answer for that. You're not getting away with anything. You think, I'm getting away. I'm getting rich, because you're cheating people. No, you're not getting away with anything, because on the day of judgment, because you have angels, one angel on your right, one angel on your left, angel on your right writing down your good deeds, angel on your left writing down your bad deeds. And so this, the cheating of people, is a bad deed and it's sinful. And you're going to have to answer for that on the day of judgment when you're standing before your Lord. And your Lord is questioning you about what you did in life. And you may not mention it, but Allah already knows it. Your hands know it, and they will testify against you. Your eyes know it, and they will testify against you for any cheating that you've done, cheating other people. So I'm going to stop there because you all get the gist of what I'm saying. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.